right. Well, if you have your Bibles this morning, you can find your space and find your place in Malachi chapter number 3. Malachi chapter number 3. And we will be there momentarily. And that is right before you get to the book of Matthew. Malachi chapter number 3. And of course, today is our fourth study in our Sarah School of the Bible series on the church defined. The church defined. Of course, last Sunday morning, we looked at and studied the offices of the church. We saw that the church has only two God-ordained offices, that of course being pastor and deacon. We established that while there are many helpers within the church, while there are many folks that help the church go and be what the church needs to be, that the two scriptural offices are that of pastor and deacon. And we said, of course, that the pastor is the overseer. He's the shepherd, the feeder, the example. The deacon is the servant who assists the pastor and serves the church. And then we saw that the church is not to be ruled by politics or personality or by pressure, because ultimately, even with pastor and deacons and with all the other helpers within the church, that Christ is still the head of the church, that Christ is to be the forefront of the church, and everything we do is to have him as the front and the center in the church. And so we could really sum it up this way, that the church is healthiest when Christ is honored for who he is, and that is the head. The pastor leads as an under-shepherd, and the deacons serve as helpers, and the people follow the word of God. And so if we want a healthy church, if we want a church that is everything that God would have it to be, it doesn't need what the world says the church needs. The church needs what the Bible says the church needs. So that's what we saw last week. And now this morning, we come now to the offerings of the church. And this is so much more than just a lesson on money, because this is a heart issue. And the way that a believer handles money will say a lot about how that believer views God, views the church, views stewardship, views obedience, and views faith. The Bible tells us in Matthew 6:21, for where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. And giving is not about God needing our money, because God doesn't need our money. God owns everything already. You know, in Sunday school, there's an old Sunday school chorus that we teach the kids. God owns the cattle on a thousand hills. And he does. And that goes for anything that we might need. You know, sometimes we look at our needs and we wonder how we're going to get through a particular month. And we need to remind ourselves that the God who owns the cattle on the thousand hills, that he is going to take care of us, that he is going to see our needs met. And now sometimes it seems like he waits until the very last minute to meet those needs, but he always comes through and he always meets those needs. Psalm 24:1, the Bible says, the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, the world and they that dwell therein. And so giving is not God trying to take what is yours, and giving is not God trying to take what is mine. Giving is God teaching us to trust him with what is his all along. It already belongs to him. We're just simply giving it back to him so that he might use us and bless us and stretch us, as it were. And so are you there this morning? Malachi chapter 3. Malachi chapter number 3. And notice there, if you would, we'll begin at verse number 8. Malachi chapter 3, beginning at verse number 8 down through verse number 12. Malachi chapter 3, beginning at verse number 8 down through verse number 12. The Bible says this, "Will a man rob God? Yet ye have robbed me. But ye say, wherein have ye robbed thee? Or wherein have we robbed thee? In tithes and offerings. Ye are cursed with a curse, for ye have robbed me, even this whole nation. Bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house, and prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven, and pour you out a blessing, and there shall not be room enough to receive it. And I will rebuke the devourer for your sakes, and he shall not destroy the fruits of your ground, neither shall your vine cast her fruit before the time in the field, saith the Lord of hosts. And all nations shall call you blessed, for ye shall be a delightsome land, saith the Lord of hosts." And so there are several things we want to see this morning as it comes to the offerings to the church. The first being this, number one, and that is the tithe belongs to the Lord. The tithe begins or belongs to the Lord. Leviticus 27:30, the Bible says, "And all the tithe of the land is the Lord's. It is holy unto the Lord." And so the tithe, as we know it, that is not a church invention. That is not a Baptist invention. It is not a church fundraiser. It's not the pastor's idea. It's not the deacon's idea. It's not the Sunday school teacher's idea. The tithe belongs to God. And the word tithe means a tenth. And so the tithe is the first 10% of all of our increase. Leviticus 27:32, the Bible says, "And concerning the tithe of the land," or of the herd rather, "or of the flock, the tenth shall be holy unto the Lord." And so when we give our tithe on Sunday mornings, when we bring our offering before the Lord, when we bring our tithe before the Lord, we're not, you know, you go out to a restaurant, you eat, and it, you know, if the service is good, you leave a tip. Now, we live in a day and age where everything, it seems everybody wants a tip. You go out, you go out to a fast food restaurant now, and you swipe your card, you pay for your meal, and then they say, "Well, we have one more question for you. It's right there on the tablet." You look down, and they're asking for a tip. And I always wondered about that. Why? You're up there to the counter. You're ordering your own food. You're usually going up and picking it up yourself. And why are they asking the tithe? Or not tithe, but tip. And, you know, now it seems like they're asking for tips on everything, no matter what it is. And so the tithe is not that. The tithe is not simply giving God a tip. We're returning to God what he already declared to be his. Proverbs 3:9, the Bible says, "Honor the Lord with thy substance and with the first fruits of all thine increase." And so God should not get what is left over. God should not get what is convenient. God should not get what we remember after everything else is paid. We saw it last week. Christ is the head of the church, that Christ should be first place. And so Christ, God, he is worthy of first place. And so the tithe is not a tip for services rendered. It is the Lord's portion returned to the Lord. In fact, take your Bibles this morning and go over to the book of Hebrews, I want to say. Hebrews. Hebrews chapter number 7. Keep your finger in Malachi. We'll be back. Hebrews chapter 7, I believe. And notice there, verses 9 and 10. The Bible says, "And as I pay, so say Levi also, who receiveth tithes, paid tithes in Abraham. For he was yet in the loins of his father when Melchizedek met him." And so we see, because there are some that will teach that, well, the tithe is just an Old Testament principle. But we see from the New Testament, Christ and God never did away with the tithe as we know. Now, when we moved to the New Testament, it became more of give of a cheerful heart. And so, you know, that's why we don't go around and we don't twist anybody's arm and say, well, how much did you give this week? No, we don't do that. We trust people to give by faith and to be faithful in their giving as unto the Lord. We see this morning that the tithe belongs to God. And so if the tithe belongs to God, then withholding it then is not a small thing. And that's what we see secondly this morning. Withholding the tithe is a serious matter. Withholding the tithe is a serious matter. You're back there in Malachi. Malachi chapter 3. And notice there, verse number 8. Malachi chapter 3, verse number 8, the Bible says, "Will a man rob God? Yet ye have robbed me, but ye say, wherein have we robbed thee? In tithes and in offerings." And so we see here, this is very strong language from the Lord. This is very strong language from God. Now, God did not say that they forgot him. God did not say they disappointed him. God said that they robbed him. Why? Because the tithe already belonged to him. Notice verse number 10. "Bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house." And so the tithe was connected to the work of God. It was connected, when you see that word storehouse, that's the house of God. And the provision for God's service. And so, in our day, the New Testament church carries out the Lord's work, and the work of the church is supported by the faithful giving of God's people. That's why we don't have yard sales. That's why we don't have bake sales. That's why we don't have fundraisers. That's why we don't rely on the world to raise money for the church. That's why we don't, you fill in the blank. We don't do it. We don't have a denomination that sends us money. We don't have an association that sends us money. We rely on the faithfulness of God's people. And so the question then becomes, well, when should we give? Well, go ahead and take your Bibles. Go over to 1 Corinthians chapter 16. 1 Corinthians chapter 16. Of course, last Sunday morning we were in 1 Corinthians. And we had said, of course, that the Corinthian church was a problem church. It was a carnal church. And the first half of 1 Corinthians was to correct problems. But then the second half of 1 Corinthians was to answer questions. And so the Corinthian believers, they had questions of the Apostle Paul. One of the questions was, well, when should they give? Well, 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verse number 1. Verse number 1, the Bible says, "Now concerning the collection for the saints, as I have given order to the churches of Galatia." So Paul had already taken care of this at the church of Galatia in Galatians. "Even so do ye." And so now he says, okay, the church of Galatia does it this way. This is the way that you are supposed to do it. Verse number 2, Upon the first day of the week, let every one of you lay by him in store, as God hath prospered him, that there be no gatherings when I come. And so we see here that, number one, giving should be regular. And so when we come and we gather on the first day of the week being Sunday. Now, the world thinks that the first day of the week is Monday, but we know according to the Bible and according to God's timetable and according to God's calendar, the first day of the week for the Christian is Sunday. And so giving should be regular. When we come in on Sunday, we should have an offering ready to go and be giving to the Lord. Number two, giving should be personal. We see there, as God hath prospered him. Giving should be proportional to what the Lord has given you. Now, if the Lord has given you only $100 this week, then you should not be giving $1,000, because, well, then you're going to be $900, you know, in the red. And so, as God has prospered you, and then giving should be connected to worship. When we give, and we give to the Lord, it's another part of our worship. And so it's us giving our more worship to the Lord. And so a believer who wants the church to do the work of God ought to be willing to support the work of God. You know, a lot of churches and a lot of Christians, and rightfully so, they want their churches to have different programs, and they want their churches to have different things. But then they don't want to give to support those programs. And well, eventually, sometimes things are going to have to get put on hold or get put on the back burner or not have it at all, because if the funds are not there, we can't have what we don't have the money to do. And so we see here that the Bible tells us the tithe belongs to the Lord, and not giving that tithe is a serious matter. But the Bible does not stop with the tithe, because in the lesson and the text also mentions offerings. And so that's what we see thirdly this morning. Offerings are above the tithe. Offerings are above the tithe. And so the tithe is the first 10%. Offerings are anything over and above that first 10%. And so our missions giving, for example, that is above and beyond our regular giving. That is above and beyond our tithe. You do not take from your offering to give to missions and then combine the two. That's not the way that's supposed to work. And so someone once noted this. He says, he who only gives the tithe has given nothing but what is already declared to belong to God. And so the tithe is obedience. The offering is generosity. The tithe is what God already claimed. The offering is what love gives beyond duty. 2 Corinthians 9, 6 and verse 7, the Bible says, "But this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly, and he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. Every man according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver." And so God, we see here, he's not honored by if we give so, and we're bitter when we do it. You know, when the plate comes around and you know, you're holding that envelope and you're like, should I really put this in this week? That's not giving cheerfully. That's not giving as a cheerful giver. God is not honored by showy giving either. You know, when the plate comes around and you say, "Yep, I'm putting in $1,000 this week, so everybody knows what you're giving." No. What you give is between you and the Lord. I don't know what you give. You don't know what somebody else gives. And that's the way that it ought to be. There's only one or two people that know really what people give. And that's what that's when people are counting the money and recording what comes in. And that's if they put in an envelope. Some people, they just put in their cash every week. And that's just as fine as well. And so we see here, God loves cheerful giving. And God is honored by those who gives cheerfully. And then fourthly and finally this morning, we see giving supports the work of the church. Giving supports the work of the church. The Lord's church has a mission to fulfill. You know, and we have to remember that. We're not just here to have a social gathering. We're not just here to have fellowship, even though it is good to come together in fellowship, even though it is good to come together and enjoy each other's company. We're here because we have a mission. And there is preaching to be done, missionaries to support, bills to pay, buildings to maintain. I mean, especially here, we have a building to maintain like there isn't anybody's business to maintain it. Needs to meet, souls to reach, and the gospel to send to a lost and dying world. There are people in our community that they are lost, they are dying, they are without Christ, and they need the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior. And they need a church that is on mission. And so God funds His work through the obedience and generosity of His people. Philippians chapter number 4 and verse 15 through 17. The Bible says, "No church communicated with me as concerning giving and receiving, but ye only. Not because I desire a gift, but I desire fruit that may abound to your account." And so the Apostle Paul saw giving as fruit. And listen, when a church gives to missions, fruit abounds. When a church supports the gospel work, fruit abounds. Listen, every time you read a missionary letter and you see that missionary, they had somebody saved, or they had somebody baptized, or they had somebody added to the church. Because you give to missions, and because our church supports those missionaries, that is fruit to our account. That is fruit to the Sarah Baptist Church. Because of our support of those missionaries, souls were saved and lives were changed. When a believer gives faithfully, fruit abounds. 1 Timothy 5, 17 and 18, the Bible says, "Let the elders that rule well be counted worthy of double honor, especially they who labor in word of doctrine. The laborer is worthy of his reward." And so we see this morning that faithful giving helps the church care for the work. The work here goes on. The work here is very important. Faithful giving helps support the workers. And faithful giving helps support the witness of the ministry. And listen, a church cannot do spiritual work on empty obedience. And so we have seen this morning the tithe belongs to God. Offerings go beyond the tithe, and giving supports the church. And now we close with this. We close with the heart behind it all. The heart behind it all. And that's what we see fifthly and finally this morning. Giving is an act of faith and worship. Giving is an act of faith and worship. And so giving, it's not just merely financial. Giving is spiritual. When we give, here's what we're saying. We're saying, "Lord, I trust you. Lord, I believe your word. Lord, you have first place. Lord, your church matters. Lord, your church is worth supporting." Notice Malachi chapter 3 and verse 10 again. The Bible says, "Bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house, and prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts." God says, "Prove me now herewith." Now listen, that's not a prosperity gospel. That's not teaching that if you give to the Lord, you know, you're going to have, you know, everything under the sun. You know, prosperity gospel preachers, they teach, you know, the moral of Noah's Ark was that you should own a yacht. That's not what Noah's Ark is about. Noah's Ark is not teaching that you should have a yacht or that you should have a boat or whatever the case may be. This is not buying God's blessings, because some people teach that. Well, if you give enough, you'll have the blessings of God on your life. That's not what this is. Some people say, well, if you give, then you'll get rich. Listen, I've given for as long as I can remember to the work of the Lord, and guess what? I'm not rich yet. Anybody else in here rich yet? If you are, see me after church. I want you to write me a check. No, it doesn't work like that. Just because we give, we don't, you know, we're not necessarily rich. What this is simply obedience by faith, a faith-filled obedience to God. 2 Corinthians 9:8, the Bible says, "And God is able to make all grace abound toward you." We need to realize this morning that God is able to provide. God is able to sustain. God is able to bless obedience. God is able to take care of His people. If you're His people this morning, God will take care of you. You will never lose by putting God first. If you will put God first in your life, you will never lose. And so, you know, the offerings to the church this morning, it's not simply about money. You've heard me say that any number of times. Because listen, God is not simply interested in your treasure. Because He doesn't just want your money. He wants your heart. He wants your time. He wants your talent. He wants your testimony. He wants all of that. Everything you have, He wants to be first in your life. And it's about obedience. It's about worship. It's about stewardship. It's about faith. It's about love for the work of God. The tithe belongs to the Lord. Offerings go above the tithe. Giving supports the work of the church. And faithful giving reveals a heart that trusts God. The Lord's church should be supported by the Lord's people, according to the Lord's word, for the Lord's work. And when God has your heart, He will not have to fight for your time or your talent or your testimony or your treasure. He'll have it already, because it will belong to Him. And so let's be faithful in our offerings to the church this morning. Brother Kenny, would you close us in prayer this morning?